Want to stay up to date on the biggest stories in pop culture and entertainment? Then be sure to check out the TMZ podcast. I'm Charlie Cotton from TMZ, the TV show, and every day I'll sit down with a member of our news team to give exclusive breakdowns of the day's most talked about headlines, stories we break, and the stories you care about. So check out the TMZ podcast, Monday through Friday, and the other podcasts from the TMZ audio network like Last Days and TMZ Verified, available on all podcast platforms.
The Instance is brought to you by the generous contributions of listeners just like you. Head on over to patreon.com/frogpants today.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 547. It is February 1st, 2019. I'm Scott Johnson, and I'm joined today by Garrett Weinzierl. Hello, Garrett.
Hey, Scott. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good, man. I feel like it's... I don't know why. I just feel like it's a good week for WoW and a bad week for other Blizzard things. And also real Blizzards, where people are really cold and have a lot of snow in the Midwest, and you don't have to worry about it because you're on America's wiener, sticking out in the sun like that. And we're cold here too, but not nearly as cold as they are. So to our listeners who are all jammed up in like areas like Chicago and parts of Missouri and the Dakotas and whatnot, I hope you're safe. And Minnesota's real bad, I guess. Don't go outside, your eyeballs will freeze is what they say. Have you heard that? Have you heard that? They said your eyeballs will freeze.
I thought you were making a joke. That's legitimate.
Legit. Like, if you're at negative 69 degrees Fahrenheit, and for your Europeans, I don't know what this Celsius is. That's the one part of metric I'm not into yet. I like all the other stuff. Measurement, I'm in. Let's change it all right now. My life is centimeters, millimeters, meters. I'm ready.
I'm into increments of 10. That sounds really easy to understand to me.
I 100% agree with you, but I still can't get my head around the Celsius, and I think that's our big sticking point. But anyway... And it's not even metric, is it? Is it metric? It's just a thing. It's just a whole other way of doing temperatures. Anyway, whatever. It doesn't matter. The point is, somebody on the news said, if you go outside in that level of cold, like Arctic freeze, and your eyes are open, you run the risk of like instantaneously freezing the outer layer and part of your cornea immediately, like just like that. Have you seen The Day After Tomorrow, Garrett, where they're in that helicopter?
No, I haven't, because disaster movies are boring.
That movie, okay, I'm not going to disagree with you. I kind of generally agree, although Tom Merritt would totally disagree with you. He loves those. But I'm with you kind of generally speaking. However, Day After Tomorrow kind of holds up. It's okay. It's all right. It's worth seeing. Go check it out. Jake Gyllenhaal. Although,
tell you what, next time you do a disaster movie on FilmSack, if Dunaway actually likes it and you want someone to be grumpy about a movie, bring me on.
Okay, we'll warm a seat for you. Everything will be fine. Anyway, man, I just hope you guys are okay. I know a lot of listeners live out that way. And my sister's in Minnesota and hasn't left the house in 48 hours. So there you go. Hey, let's get into it. We got stuff to talk about today. No Patrick, no Terpster. Patrick's got some kind of back appointment. I can only assume that his back hurts because he played Overwatch the whole time on the show last week. So that'll get to you after a while. After a while, your back will just start going, oh, Reinhardt, and you got to go in and get it looked at. So well done, Patrick. Nice going. It's your own doing. And since last we spoke, I became a grandfather. Yeah, I know. That's weird. I get it. It's strange.
Oh, how did we get this far in without that coming up?
Well, it's come up on like 10 other shows, so it's hard to...
I'm going
to
be completely honest. I assume we weren't doing a show today.
Oh, really? Because of that whole thing?
Nah. I was on Twitter. I'm looking at all the photos. And then, like, last night, Katie's like, hey, you doing anything this morning? I'm like, you know, Scott said so, and I'm surprised. I just figured you'd be busy doing family stuff.
Well, we've been doing that a lot, of course, all of Wednesday, which was the birthday, and then yesterday there was some stuff. But for the most part, it's all gone swimmingly well. Like, no issues, no complications, no nothing. Like, she's just going to check out this morning. My wife's going to go help them move their stuff back to the house. Their dog is here, so they'll pick the dog up, and then they're just gonna settle in and start doing family stuff, you know, like with the little one. And it's just real weird, because when I started the show in 2006, My son Nicholas was 6 years old, and now he's 18. So the thinking is, give it like 5 years, and he could pass the torch to the little dude, and he could be the new town crier. See, that's what we're thinking.
Oh, yeah. I like that. I like that idea.
Yeah, because the instance never ends. It just goes on in perpetuity until we're all dead.
Until World of Warcraft is taken offline.
Yeah, which isn't probably as far off
as you
might.
And then
you know
what else we do? We launch the Instance Classic, and we use the old Town Crier soundbite on that show. But we use the new one from your grandchild, Van?
Van is his name.
Did you see the name?
Yeah, that's Van. Cool name. It's a pretty cool name. I call him Minivan for right now because he's little.
That is so acceptable.
It's totally acceptable.
That's a great nickname until Van is no longer Mini.
Yeah, and it's happy tame times all around, everybody. Just so you know, this all feels great because, A, being a grandpa, which is still weird to say, but doing that, achieving that in your 40s feels good because you're still young. You don't have to like feel like an old turd. I'm not 72 going, we had a little kid the other day. I couldn't make it to the hospital. Like, I got the energy. I got the chutzpah. I got the goings on. The kid's already wearing like video game shirts. Like, we're going to nerd that boy out. It's going to be great. I'm going to spoil him rotten and send him home at the end of the day. That's the best part. You just feed them all the candy they want. They play all the video games they want. You just party at grandpa's house and then you send him home. He doesn't have to get up at 3 a.m. at my house and barf from all the candy. He can do it there. Oh, it's going to be great. But anyway,
that's so good.
Yeah, he'll start a Van Halen tribute band because his name's Van. Every time he tries to get a cab, it'll be Van Halen. Get it? Van Halen, a cab.
He'll be Halen of a cab.
Right? I got other jokes. He'll live.
We all with jokes.
when he's having a hard time in his teens, he'll go live in a van down by the river. That'll be a thing. And then... he'll love Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. You see where I'm going with this? A lot of van references.
Gonna be a big fan of the A-Team.
I forgot about the van and the A-Team.
Yep.
Well
yep.
done. Thank you. I was missing. I felt like something was missing over the last
gonna
couple
be all
of
about
days.
It. Yeah. It's going to be his favorite show.
You filled the whole
congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I know I've texted you that. I know I've tweeted at you that. But if it didn't happen on a podcast, did it really happen?
No, nothing ever happens unless you can say it out loud and then store it forever. So it's much appreciated, and it's been a very intense couple of days in a very good way, and it's nice to kind of be on the other side of the intensity of it, because now I can get back to, you know, things like what's World of Warcraft doing and things like that, which is sounds like a weird thing for anyone in grandpa status to say, but yet here we are, and here I am, and here you are, and we're going to do a show. We got a lot to talk about, it turns out. Things happened this week, and in particular... one very big thing dropped, and we'll talk about it now. Mythic and Raid Finder Wing 1 for Battle of Dazalazor, Dalor. Dazarlor, I know it's Dazarlor. I know it's Dazarlor, I know.
They break it up for you. It's Dazar-alor.
Alor. No, it's not hard. I did that for the fans. They just love it when I screw that up. Anyway, it's out, it's open, and of course... first thing Garrett did was jump into the raid wing, the raid finder version of the first wing, and just tear through that thing and experience every morsel that was there for him. Right, right. You did all of it.
Actually, the first thing I did was get sick on Tuesday, miss the Anger Chicken, and then have to prepare for episode 300 of the Anger Chicken because they gave us a dev, but we couldn't say why we were doing a second episode this week last night, and it was because, as you all know now, there was a Hearthstone. A major balance update announced, and they were so kind to give us a dev in the middle of the week.
Oh, wow.
So I had no time to get into Raid Finder and check out Battle of the Dazar-alor.
Yeah, it's been a kind of a wacky Hearthstone week, and I saw that yesterday, your tweet, and I went, what is he hinting at? What kind of special something's going on? And you couldn't say, I guess, because that was the deal.
Yeah, it was really cool at Team 5. They're like, hey, we're going to give you a dev for this reason. You can't say why. And I was like, oh, cool. This will be fun to promote.
Yeah. No kidding, right? Love stuff we can't talk about. It's the best.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you, Team 5. Also means we had to do our 300th episode early. So we did it last night instead of this upcoming Tuesday.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thanks.
Feels like 5 minutes ago we were doing that first one in the Guild Hall. And like, what? When was that? 2014? 2013?
It was like episode 4 or something.
Oh,
I think.
Was it? Okay. I thought it was the first
2013.
One. Yeah. I thought it was the first one for some reason. Why would I think that? That's not right.
I don't know. Like episode 3 or 4, I forget. Because I don't believe there's video of that episode. It's one of the only episodes that it doesn't have a video component anywhere.
Well, I know this. Anything past 200 and you're officially podcasting. Nice job. Well done.
Well, we're at episode 547. So it's going to be over a year before I get to a double zero instance episode.
Yeah, look at that. You'll get there faster than you think.
Yeah.
We miss days sometimes.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. So LFR is open. Mythic is open.
Yeah, it's out there. Some people have already cleared up to boss 9. I forgot what group that was that did that. Shoot, I meant to write it down. Anyway. Somebody's already torn through it, as they always do. I try not to pay attention to that because, of course, somebody did. But the Raid Finder thing. Okay, here's what I did. So yesterday, it's been a busy week for me, and I haven't had time to play much of any video games most of the week. So we were getting my daughter ready for all of her stuff and kind of being here for her and everything. And so yesterday I had some time. I thought, well, I'm going to hop in and get queued. Let's go. Let's see this content so that when it hits normal, I'm, you know, more ready or whatever. And I'd forgotten that I am sitting right around 348. And
wait,
it's a
really?
Yeah, and it's a minimum 350. Oh,
you stopped raiding, I guess, sooner than I thought.
Yeah, I fell off that wagon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just laid there.
I'm like, I think I'm just shy of 380.
Yeah, you're probably way, I mean, I know you're way ahead of me. I mean, whatever happens with normal, it's some group's gonna be carrying me, whoever does it. Because that's how this works. This is what happens to me. I get real good at the tip of the spear. And I'm right there with everybody, and then I fall off, and then everyone's, you know, 30, 40 eye levels ahead of me, and then I'm stuck wondering why get into 350.
Let me tell you what I did do this week in World of Warcraft, Scott, and that was get the bug to just do world quests and kind of just keep up on things. And let me tell you, you're going to be able to get over 350 eye level really fast.
Well, that's what I realized last night, is the catch-up mechanic is real. Like, I went and looked, I noticed this and went, damn it, I can't do this now. And immediately went, well, how are we doing on world quests? Have they bumped, you know, have they bumped eye level or, you know, can I get some catch up here? And sure enough, yes, there's multiple 350 items. But the problem is all the ones that I wanted to get were outside of caches and stuff. But just, you know, single reward world quests. They were all items that I had 370 or better already. And so it was like. The right items weren't dropping, if that makes sense. So I went and did a bunch of those, and I knocked some out. And there were some that were like, oh, this will roll higher if I can get a freaking Warforged whatever. This will be great. And nope, didn't happen. I forgot I had war mode on. Got stuck in a patch of really angry Alliance people who just wanted to eat me until I no longer existed in this mortal realm. And so lots of death. Try to run my corpse. Barely get out of there. Trying to hearth back, my whistle's on cooldown, so I can't do anything fast. They see me and kill me again. Like, it was just rough.
An experience very much like that. The war mode's pretty bad right now.
But. Yeah, it's gnarly. They're doing it in packs. And you know what? Great. That's what war mode's for, figuring out shystery ways to screw over your opponent. That's the deal.
I feel like a pack doesn't really do it justice, Scott. Mm. I feel it's more... they do it in populations of small countries.
I see what you're saying.
I got run over by probably 80 effing Alliance this week.
Well, maybe we're supposed to should we be rolling with some Horde group somewhere and doing the same thing, steamrolling a bunch of war motors?
We should. I try to put a group together, but no one wants to do it. Y'all let me down. Y'all are a bunch of cowards.
I might do it. I might be willing to do that. That sounds like fun. I mean, what they were doing to me, I could see the fun of it on their end. It wasn't fun for me at all, but I could totally get into it. There's that one quest where you go and you fish for like sand monsters out in Voldoon.
Mm-hmm.
And so you fish for them, they come up, you kill them, you get the whatever. And I was trying to just get that one knocked out and done because there was a potential upgrade there for the world quest. And they weren't going to leave. They were just camping it and killing everything that they fished. They weren't even doing the quest. They were just bringing up all these sand monsters, you know, AOEing them down and waiting for people like me to come by. And that's fine. It's an old trick. I get it. And I fell right into it. But I immediately went back. When I could, I hearthed back, went back to switch off my war mode and went back and completed it. So, and I didn't get the upgrade. So anyway, the bottom line for me is I'll probably get into Raid Finder today sometime or possibly tonight and and see it because I really want to see it. And it's a good time to get in because lots of queues and lots of people are going. I mean, I could queue for the last one and try to get, an, you know, some incremental great upgrade because there are some in there. But then that's, you know, you got to hope that it drops. And
oh, you will get much larger upgrades from just doing like go do a Warfront and some world quests. There's much larger upgrades to be had that way.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
So, I got a 395 trinket, dude.
Oh, my Lord.
It's been banned down.
Wow. How'd you get that? From what?
I don't even remember now. Did it drop off? I think it might have gotten it off a boss and it like proc heroic Warforged.
That's great.
Like a world boss or something. I can't remember now.
395. Jeez Louise.
But I was stoked.
Yeah, we're hitting that. It's fun to hit a new even number. Get right up to that 400, you know. It's like, I don't know. Something about
I'm looking
it.
For a ring right now. My lowest item level... item is I'm sitting on a crappy 355 ring, so I just need to find a world quest or an emissary that's giving a ring away, and that'll be solid. I'll sure everything up.
Well, I for one, I know a lot of people don't like this about the game, or not a lot of people, but some percentage don't like catch up mechanics because they feel like it's to give us lazy players too easy of a way to play the game.
I'll throw him under the bus without him here to defend his positions. Kyle doesn't like the catch-up mechanics. He gets real grumpy about catch-up mechanics.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, next time you're hanging with Kyle, just be like, hey, man, tell me about your opinion about catch-up mechanics. World of Warcraft.
Yeah, I will, actually, because I would like to know more, and I would like to rub it in a little bit that I actually like benefiting directly from the nanny state that is Warcraft when I need to catch up.
I think it's great. It doesn't bother me at all. Like if I got geared up doing the raid at the time, that's cool. I like to see it when it's new and when people are still interested in it. And you know, if the next patch comes out and there's catch up mechanics, I don't care.
Do you think it just comes down to the like they just feel like they earned a thing? Is it just that old primal thing of I did this when it was hard and now you're getting in too easy? Like it's as if your senior class had the hardest test ever, and the very next year it got half as hard, and now you're like, well, that they don't know how hard it was for us. Is it that attitude, do you think?
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, again, speaking to Kyle's opinions, I don't know, we haven't really dug too deep into it because we don't do a WoW show together, but
right.
I know Kyle, and I'm sure it's a little more deeply rooted and nuanced than that, because he tends to have reasons for the beliefs that he holds.
Yeah.
That aren't so simplified. But I mean, yeah, when I see folks complaining about it online, that does seem to be the vibe I'm getting. Man, I tried so much harder. But this has been the cycle of World of Warcraft. You remember when BC was announced, where people were like, no, I worked so hard on my tier, and we're going to have 10 more levels. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, now it seems kind of silly because it's just the cycle of World of Warcraft at this point.
Yeah, I forgot there was a big outcry then about, you know, I just did all this and now you're going to give me a green with my first quest that's better than this thing I worked so hard to do. Like, yeah, it's always been here, guys. Sorry. You know what? Expansions are catch-up mechanics. Straight up. Now, literally, they give you a character boost to current level. Like, that's, can you get more catch-up mechanic than that? Like, that's Mike and the mechanics of catch-up mechanics. It's insane. Here, be level 120 and do nothing to get it. It's pretty good. I mean, we're there. This is the world we live in, so get used to it. Anyway, I'm curious what people think about it. I have not seen any of this raid. I don't like to look at videos ahead of time. My primer tends to be Raid Finder because I like to, you know, that's a little, obviously it's an easier run, so I don't have to be as stressed about it. But I can also see a lot of the mechanics, get some idea of what my surroundings are going to be, know what I have to do. And I don't have to go sit through a bunch of videos and be spoiled. I'd rather kind of be spoiled through Raid Finder. So that's what I usually do. And then if I'm feeling at all serious about whatever comes next, I'll then go, you know, dig deep into final boss videos and stuff like that. Yeah. So anyway, it's out there. It's happening. And Garrett, you should play. You can get in now. You could do it now.
It's on my list of weekend things to do. Once I'm bored with the Anthem demo, I'm going to go run some LFR.
Oh, can we? I know this is sidetracked, but can you just give me the little 401 and or the 411? 411 and what you think of that thing? How is it? Do you like Anthem?
Shooting is less fun than Destiny. The mobility is a lot more fun than Destiny.
Okay. And how loot wise? Like, I was told it felt like Diablo. Does it feel like Diablo?
it feels a lot more Diablo than I expected, and that's a big compliment for me.
Yeah, me as well.
I like it. I like the health drops. I like the ammo drops. It feels like you're in the middle of a big Diablo fight, and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to die. There's a red glowing orb. I'm going to go run over. It has a more arcadey feel than I thought it was going to have, and yeah. I really like it.
Do you like the... do you have a favorite of the... what are they called? What are the body suits? Javelin. Do you have a favorite javelin?
I think Kyle's calling them Iron Men, so you can call them Iron Men.
Of course he is. Do you have a pick? Do you like the fat guy? You like the little skinny fast guy? What do you like there?
Honestly, at the moment, I really like the boring ass ranger because it feels the most like playing Iron Man.
Oh yeah, I would assume he's your nice middle of the road too.
It's like the default. I can't decide what I want to play. It kind of does everything a little bit okay.
Yeah. Well, all right. I'm curious. I am way on the fence, and I will be probably until some of my friends that I trust in areas like this start to give me their feedback, and so far it's been pretty positive. You and you others.
This is a shameless plug. You should go check out Kyle and I's new YouTube channel.
Yeah, this awesome new thing you guys should all be checking out. I'm really curious about the Kyle keeps emphasizing how you guys worked out an amazing workflow, and that's the thing that makes me the most curious. Is that weird that I want to get all meta about your workflow?
We can talk about it at the end of the show if you want.
All right, F you guys. We're not sharing that with you.
It's not like mind blowing or anything, but it's fun. We figured it out.
We record a video and we put it on the internet.
Yes, you turn a camera on.
Oh wow, you guys are really blazing new trails. All right, let's talk about that pig for a second, and then we'll get into some other deeper topics. The what's this thing called? Hogris Swine of Good Fortune released on the store. This is the thing you got to buy. You don't get it in the game. It's one of those. Now, normally, I don't like to really showcase these or talk about these that much because generally I'm like, I don't like the fact that these are $25. I feel like they're overpriced. I've felt like that for a long time. And I still sort of think that price is a little bit outrageous. However, you see this thing in motion and you have to have it. I will have this pig probably today because look at it. Just look at that pig, Garrett. he's flying. He's amazing. This is the most, if there's a better pet on the, a better mount that you can pay for on the Warcraft store, I don't know what it is. That's an amazing deal right there.
He's a good boy. Although I wish he wasn't made out of stone. I wish he was an honest to God, like fleshy pig.
You want like a real...
I want a real honest to God just pig, a giant pig with wings.
Yeah, but doesn't it make sense that they're like... This feels like something that came out of freaking Pandaria, like some...
Yeah, the like Mogu?
Yeah, that's what it is. And it's got... I think, of course, it fits with the Chinese New Year thing, which is the whole point. It's the year of the pig or the year of the hog. So all that stuff is the tie-in, but it seems like, somebody, one of those Mogu dudes... walking around going, oh, I'm going to make a pig. And that's what happened. And that's how you got it. Only $25 later, you got yourself a Mogu pig, a Mogu Gushu pig, or however they say their names. But you said it right. I didn't say it right. What is it?
Mogu.
It's just Mogu?
Yeah. They were the Mogushan vaults, if that's what you're thinking
of. That's what I'm thinking of. Yep. That's totally what I'm thinking of. Anyway, also would be cool is if every time anything happened that was Pandaria related, that we would get a little side quest where we'd have to fly to Pandaria and find Lore Walker Cho, and then he could tell us a little story about it. That would be awesome.
Yeah, he smacks his gong, and he has this long story to tell you.
And he goes, ooh, you desire a story of the thing. And you could just sit down and talk to him. Oh, man, that'd be amazing.
I went and captured his long story about King Rastakhan for some lore bits on my solo show this week.
Wait a minute. He does that?
Yeah, back in Pandaria, when Throne of Thunder was a thing, and we went out to the Isle of Thunder.
Yeah.
Because Zul shows up. Prophet Zul sends a bunch of Zandalari out to the Isle of Thunder.
Wow. Why do I not know that? Okay.
You find a scroll that's called the Zandalari Prophecy, and it tells you to go to Lore Walker Cho and give it to him, and then he unravels the damn thing and sits there and tells you the whole story about King Rastakhan and the Cataclysm and Zul.
Oh my gosh, okay. Well,
if you go look it up on YouTube, you can see the old shitty model they used for King Rastakhan, because it's like a hologram of him kind of shows up, but they've updated it now. If you go do the quest now, it is the new model of King Rastakhan sitting on his throne.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. But it used to be the other guy. I love that when they do that.
Yeah, he used to be just like a really bad vanilla Zandalari troll.
It's probably like it's probably just some ID that they just swap out, right? Like it says that Rastakhan's there, And now that there's a new model for Rosticon, it just sticks the new model there, probably.
That's what I imagine. They've got to have something like that, right? When they, you know, when they did like updated models and whatnot, because every NPC in the game is an updated model now.
Well, because so Garrosh used to look like freaking tree bark and just stupid. And then one day suddenly he was like, "Oh, he's got the big shoulder things and he's all badass and whatever." And I think they probably just swapped that stuff out. I don't know. Blizzard, if you just send one of those guys that does these sorts of things at the company, just come on over for an interview. I love those kind of things in the game. People always want to talk to Ian, and Ian's great. Don't get me wrong. I'd like to talk to some dude who's like in charge of making sure the rain works in a certain zone. Like, that's interesting to me.
Yeah, no, I stand by it. This past BlizzCon, the best panel, no offense, I know you did a panel, was the WoW Classic panel, because they got into the nitty-gritty of what they had to do to make it work and to rebuild it, and it was so fascinating.
Yeah, I agree. That was probably my favorite. Right behind that one, the WoW Q&A one was pretty good, but it was, it's
close. It was all right. It was all right.
It was a close second. I was trying to find, while we were talking here, I have a Laura Walker Cho sound clip, and I can't find it now, so I'm not going to play it. Mm. It was about the Monkey King. Maybe I have to just search for Monkey. Hold on. The Monkey King blew. Oh, here it is.
A great gust blew the Monkey King away.
Oh, it's so good. Laura Walker Cho is my man. I love him. Anyway.
And we made an anime about it called Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, my Lord. They kind of did, right?
That's essentially an adaptation of the Monkey King.
Is it? There's like 100 animes that all have a version of the Monkey King story, and then video games do it too. Everybody's doing it. Everyone loves the Monkey King. Wee Monkey King. All right. I want to buy that pig. Chat room said something funny. Where'd it go? It said, the fans said, I can't find it now. He said, fans said, WoW will only be good when pigs fly. And Blizzard's like, hold on a second, or hold my beer. It's pretty good. Anyway, there's that. All right. Now, if you want to be a Kul Tiran or a Zandalari, we talked about this a little bit last show. We now know what you have to achieve to get these dudes and ladies. Okay. So here's what you got to do. I'm going to read right from the post they put in the forum, and we'll talk about it. As some have seen on the current PTR, players will be able to unlock both Kul Tiran on the Alliance and Zandalari on the Horde in our next content update. So you're finally getting these things that were sort of promised with the expansion in general. While we do not have a date to announce at this time, these requirements to unlock these allied races are currently active and live in the game. If you're interested in playing either one of these upcoming allied races, you can get these requirements completed now and begin the quest to unlock them as soon as the content update is released. So on the Alliance side, you have to get the following achievements: Tides of Vengeance, which is complete the Tides of Vengeance war campaign, or at least up to where it's currently at. You have to get A Nation United. You have to complete the following achievements and quests on the continent of Kul Tiras, Lore Master of Kul Tiras, The Pride of Kul Tiras, A Nation United, and have reputation exalted with the Proudmoore Admiralty. Admiralty? I'm saying that right, aren't I? Admiralty. Because you're Admiral. Admiralty.
Admiralty.
Admiralty. Admiralty. Admiralty. You're right, it's Admiralty.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just going to put on the record it's a shit word. That's what I'm going to say. I don't like it. Admiralty.
You know what's a lot easier to pronounce? Zandalari Empire.
Or the freaking raid name. That one's easier, too. all right. So that's that. Horde. You got to get Tides of Vengeance. Complete the Tides of Vengeance war campaign. Again, up to where it's current. Achievement, Zandalari Forever. You have to complete the following achievements to do that. The Throne of Zoldazar. You have to get the Dark Heart of Nazmir. Secrets of Sands. In the Sand, sorry. A Bargain of Blood. Boy, yesterday the secret in the sands were Alliance guys camping there. Anyway, Bargain of Blood, the final seal, and you have to have reputation exalted with the Zandalari Empire. You do all of that.
You also have to watch Black Panther all the way through.
Yeah, because you won't understand you won't get the Zandalari Forever reference then, will you? Boy, they really shoved that in there in the same year they released the video game, didn't they?
This is all fine. You know, if I have to unlock these races, this is all right.
Are you a little bugged that you're going to have to do as much or more work soon enough for flying and stuff? So, like, this is just the beginning of this sort of thing in this expansion?
Yeah, I mean, this is all, with the exception of maybe Exalted with Zandalari Empire, this is just playing the game. You know, if you just play the game, you're going to get these. Exalted with, you know, whether it's, you know, getting Exalted on the Alliance or the Horde side, that is going to take some grinding. But everything else on here is just playing the game naturally.
Pretty standard stuff, yeah. And we don't know anything about that flying stuff. That's the other problem when they sell a pig like this. He won't fly in the zones because he can't. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be Pathfinder like all the previous expansions. So
yeah, which again, I was so dead set on making sure I was as ready for Pathfinder as possible. I'm so not, dude. Like, there's so many little...
That altaholism, man, really, really threw you for a loop.
It jacked me up. I wish there was a way to convert it like currency, you know? Like, all the work I did on the... I don't know, whatever other character I did. I can't even think right now. But whatever secondary character I leveled up, can I just take all that and convert it somehow into freaking rep and other stuff that's hard to earn? I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I play video games weird. Back on
GURP. Just go hard on GURP. You know, you'll get there.
Go hard on GURP. Yeah, that's what they say. That's what the kids say today. Anyway, that's what you got to do. So get in there and get ready, because soon you'll have a thing they seem to have promised originally with the expansion.
I'm really struggling with this, Scott, because my original Horde main, who I haven't touched this expansion yet.
Yeah.
But the character I swapped a Horde with and I downed Arthas on is my Blood Elf Paladin.
Mm.
But Zandalari Paladins look so good.
Yeah, they really do.
They look so rad. Mm. And I'm sitting here like, do I commit the sacrilege of race swapping, like, probably the tune that's the most important to me?
Well,
I don't think I can do it, but I really want a Zandalari Paladin.
Let's think about it for a second. Your only other option then is boost and level, right?
And it's essentially the same thing. It's like, if I'm going to be playing a Zandalari Paladin, I'm not going to be playing my Blood Elf Paladin.
No. Yeah, you're right. That's a hard one. I mean, think of it this way, though. You could always... You just said it. Because if you're not going to be playing the one, you're going to be playing the other. So make the conversion. Live as a troll for a while. And then when you feel like, oh, no, I'd really want to rather go over there, then just do another one. It's all they want is your cold, hard cash.
I can't decide it.
Your hard-earned money. I get it. No, I totally get it, dude. I get
what else could they be? Is there anything I'm like dying?
If anyone ever asked me to race change or even faction change my GURP, I can't do it. I can't do it. It would be that sacrilege is the right word. It would feel wrong. Like I am wronging a heritage. Like I don't know what it would be. It would be like, you know, I always think, oh, this is bad. You know, the DuPont family, they're all made all this money and whatever they did. I don't know what the DuPonts did, but they were huge. And then they had the one son who went nuts and killed people.
Where are you going with this?
I don't want to be that guy who has this long running, you know, lineage with his character from vanilla. In fact, pre-vanilla and on, I kind of had GURP, even though I had to recreate him in the retail game, when they finally went out of beta. But, I just have had him since the beginning. He's just always been there. For me to change him now is like having the son that kills people. It's not working. My analogy's not working.
This is not one of your stronger analogies.
No, it's not. It's not at all. It's a really bad one.
Solaskur in the chat room figured it out, said, make the troll, get a fever, boost the troll.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what I did. That's how you should do it.
And then plop him down
in front of the temple and never pick him up again.
We have figured it out.
Yeah. It's all solved now. Okay, some more things that got figured out. Ian Hazakostas, everyone's favorite Watcher dev, sat down for an interview and talked about some things. Now, I only am going to highlight the stuff that interested me, because these are the things that always jump out at me. I am a more esoteric WoW fan. I love to know weird details, strange things, overarching ideas, what's the company thinking level type of stuff. That's more interesting to me than what Warlocks had, you know, what talent a Warlock lost this week. I don't care about that. I care about the bigger picture a lot of the times. And he talked about that a little bit, specifically the state of the game. And so let's go through these. If you have anything interesting to coat this with, great. Otherwise, we'll just sort of tear through these. But here we go. He says the team cares deeply about the state of the game. They are visiting all of the different venues where players provide feedback and talk about the game and read all of the comments. That means they're probably listening right now. That's the rumor over there anyway. A lot of them do.
Hey, I'm excited about what you're doing with the artifact necklace.
Oh, you are? That's good. Tell me more. Why are you excited? What's good about it?
They're more or less turning it into an artifact weapon, and that's how I wanted it to work.
They kind of are, aren't they? They're sort of, I mean, you know, this is them pivoting and going, that worked really well. We thought we had a new idea that was maybe even better, a little more concise. Maybe not so much. So let's bring back some of what made that last thing good. He says people love the game and have a deep connection, but it's going in a direction they don't like, and that's frustrating. Feedback comes from a place of emotion. See, this is where he starts to get deep, and I like this sort of thing. He says one of the challenges with WoW is there are very diverse audiences and play styles. When players accuse the team of being out of touch, it isn't that they don't understand player concerns or what they'd like to be in the game. The team has to keep in mind that the other half dozen groups of players, what they want the game and they want the game to be, and that they see the game as being different things. And often those are opposing things. So I like the perspective he's providing on that, because I don't really think about it. Like, we're all thinking about it from our perspective. Some player likes to go in, solo all the content, and never touch anything endgame. Other players, all they care about is endgame, so all that stuff before that is just fluff they have to get through as fast as they can. Play styles are going to differ across the board. Like he says, there's dozens of ways for people to approach and play the game. I think it's good for us to remember once in a while that sometimes if one vocal group isn't getting what they think they want, or at the very least perceive that they want, another group might be getting what they want.
This is not a WoW exclusive challenge to game creation. This is a challenge that every game has to contend with. This comes up all the time when we talk Hearthstone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
is that, you know, what we want is probably very different what the vast majority of players want.
Sure, it's like that Anthem game. A lot of people think they know what they want right now. And it's going to be, when that game launches, there's going to be a whole lot of people that want a thing, and it's going to go back and forth, whether they're wanting it or getting it or not. Like Destiny 2, everyone tells me it's in a great place right now, but I know there's some people that are like, no, I hate it right now. I liked it better 3 months ago. Or, you know, like, there's just, that's video games, and you're totally right. I think WoW maybe is in the unique place of, longevity. The game's been around for so long and iterated upon so much, and they have so many systems in play now, that they have perhaps an extra high challenge to balance all of that and keep every group happy. And maybe MMOs in general are in that position. But anyway, I find that stuff fascinating. He says, players, this is an interesting point. He says, players have every right to focus on their own experience. In other words, if you're just into camping in the sand and killing me, you should be able to do that. That's your job. Go do it. Make it happen. And the game should accommodate all of those player styles, and there's nothing wrong with you wanting to be whoever you want to be in the game. Again, these are philosophical points. These aren't like, you know, why is my paladin broken kind of questions. He says the team wants everyone to be as happy as possible. Oh,
that's some hard-hitting, really, really brave comments there.
I thought you'd like that one.
Really going out on a limb with... the comment that may ruffle some feathers.
Yeah, we'd really like everyone to be happy as possible. That way, I mean, subtext is that way you keep providing your $15 a month for us to make your video game. So I get it. I know that why they want us all to be happy. Chatter makes a point that I wanted to actually talk about today, and I forgot. Bagheera says, I want the Warcraft 3 reboot when they give us a release date. When is that? Do we have any idea on that game? We don't have any idea when that's coming out.
This year.
That's it, right? That's all they've said?
Sometime in 2019.
All right. I mean, you're looking forward to that, right? That's a thing you want.
Oh, that's money that no longer is in my pocket.
Yeah, I think I pre-ordered mine as well.
I'll absolutely be playing that.
Yeah. It's a little pricey in my opinion, but whatever. That's Blizzard. They say, all right, what's it worth? $20. All right, add 10 and we're good.
Still cheaper than the 7.3 release of the same Nintendo game over and over again.
Oh, look at you throwing shade. I like it. come at us, Nintendo fans.
I just like putting things in perspective.
That's fine. No, it's good. We're doing the Lord's work. All right, here we got. The internet is a place that has become a bit more polarized, and it's become more about getting anger out there than less about finding common ground. So now he's getting like real deep into the whole us versus you tribalism of the current social internet.
He is not wrong.
No, I think he's right. Says there's a bright future ahead with the majority of Battle for Azeroth patch content still to come. If you think back to this time in Legion, there was much more to follow. So giving everyone a bright outlook of what they expect from Battle for Azeroth. I mean, I suspect that if there are people out there that were really unhappy with the state of Battle for Azeroth, it was no longer tweaking their bean. That's kind of dirty sounding, tweaking their bean, isn't it?
Cringing for the audio audience.
Yeah,
my
I
face.
Feel bad. Sorry, everyone. I didn't really mean it that way. It's like I always say dumb things like, "Oh, it really melts my cheese," or "That really picks my apples," or whatever.
Torques my wrench.
Yeah, tweaking my bean was not an intended. I didn't mean it to come out like that. Anyway, the point is, I'm still saying it. He won't stop saying it.
I'm having a physical reaction when you say it.
Bean tweaking is not cool. Or unless you're into it, whatever, I don't care.
All right.
I lost it. Where'd it go?
Sitting in the chair says, at least you didn't full stop and focus on it.
That is so Sidian, dude. Always calling me out. He's always right, by the way.
Sidian's great.
That dude is like, his name should be Matter of Fact. That should just be his name. I forgot my whole point. Oh, my point was that they probably checked out by now, right? Like if you're not loving it, you're out. So the rest of us are into it. We're playing. Let's go. Video game. Woo!
Yeah, I mean, Ian's getting very like broad and philosophical here, and he's not wrong. I mean, we've been having these conversations on and off, pretty much for the life of Battle for Azeroth now, because it seems to have been this lightning rod for anger surrounding Blizzard. It deflected a little bit around the announcement of Immortal, but now that there's no updates on that game, we're back to focusing our anger at Blizzard, at World of Warcraft for whatever reason. And I still don't get it. I mean, it's obvious, but it's also, I think, correct where Ian points out here that, you know, right now it feels more polarized around the internet. And I don't know. I see it as misplaced. I feel like we're losing the narrative. We're losing the history of WoW overall. Mm-hmm. Because this, I don't see this as a bad expansion. I don't agree with everything that has happened in it by any means. My God, I prefer this so much to Warlords. I prefer this expansion heavily to something like Cataclysm.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we're in way better territory than those games. And I would even say, I mean, whatever. Someone's going to argue with me with this, but I don't feel like I'm feeling that different at this stage than I was with Legion or with Pandaria or any other expansion. Sometimes those things have to be in the rearview mirror for people to appreciate them more. Like Pandaria has definitely got high beam nostalgia on it right now. People are very fond of it, but man, you guys all forgot the kind of stuff you were saying in 2011 about that expansion announcement or about when it launched. Like, there was so much hate and so much, this is it, Blizzard jumped the shards, the worst thing ever. Y'all forgot. And now you're all just glowingly constantly going, oh, yes, Pandaria. What a time that was for all of us involved. It's like, no, dude, you weren't saying that then, you jack and ape. I love that term. It needs to be used
jack
more.
And ape.
Jack and ape. It's pretty good. he went on to say the team is focused on learning from mistakes that were made with systems and rewards at the start of Battle for Azeroth, correcting many of those in patch 8.1 and beyond.
World of Warcraft, it just doesn't seem like they can make updates as quickly as they can with other games. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's in between. Obviously, Heroes is slowing down, but I used to say it's like Hearthstone is the far end of the pendulum where things move at a molasses pace, and Heroes is the opposite end where there's constant updates and iteration, and WoW is somewhere in between.
Yeah. Yeah, that's quite fair.
Like, the changes coming to Azerite, like, it was... The way that the Azerite system worked in this expansion was such a core piece of Battle for Azeroth, and to change it, I don't know. It makes sense to me. I don't understand exactly what they need to do to make the changes that are going to be coming, but I imagine it's something that takes a lot of time because of how baked in and what a cornerstone the system appears to be with gearing and BFA.
No, I think it's a joint for the bones that are the game. This expansion, like, this is, it's all surrounding this, and the way that those artifact weapons were in the last expansion, everything hovers around, or was meant to hover around, Azerite. an Azerite gear and Azerite as a concept. So yeah, it's hard to shift, I think, once, because if that's your backbone, whatever that is of whatever expansion you're in, whatever your big thing is. And I want to say, so for this, it would have been that artifact weapons for the previous one. In Warlords, I would have said it was like, what was the big thing there? What was their big?
Garrisons, I guess.
Oh, garrisons. Yeah, no, totally. It was garrisons. It wasn't great, but it was garrisons. And then before that in Pandaria, I don't remember, but there's always something, right? There's always like some big thread, probably from BC and forward. There's something in the expansion that is the thing, and that's the thing. So whatever they do around that thing, they have to at the same time be thoughtful of things that aren't working, keep the stuff that is. If it was a colossal mistake to make it your tent pole, well, then what do you do? Like, they have to just react in a lot of crazy ways, and that's just the way it is. I don't know what the next expansion will be, but it'll have its thing. It'll be like, you know, I don't know what it'll be.
I mean, I think if the artifact weapon system worked, I don't see any reason to necessarily throw it out. I'm with the critiques. I don't think the Azerite system is good. It is my least favorite thing about this entire expansion.
Yeah.
But I also understand that it's going to take some time to fix it, mm-hmm. because of the way it's designed and how baked in it is.
Yeah. I want to fly right now. I was telling you.
I'm ready to fly as well.
Yeah. It's time. I'm happy to keep doing some world quests, but let me fly, damn it. It's time. Let's get that going.
I've really enjoyed the world design in BFA. I think these two islands are just amazing, and I have enjoyed my time thoroughly, enjoying it from the ground floor. But it's time. I've spent enough time running around on my mounts.
Yeah, whatever. There's a lot to like about that experience, but I've done it enough. Anyway, if you want to watch that whole video, it's on YouTube. And you can go watch it. It's cool stuff. interview with Ian Hazakosis. I forget who did the interview. I should probably give them credit. It was... Here we go. Vanyan.eu. Looks like a German thing. Because they're...
I'll explain why I'm unfamiliar with it.
Yeah, and their description says... We're hatten die Chancen derm game director Ian Hazakosis ein paar Fragen dazu. I'm sure I nailed it. All our German listeners, write in. Let me know how I did there. I'm sure I got it.
Exactly. Uncanny. It's so authentic.
It's nearly offensive, really. Like, I should be in trouble for what I just did. But
I feel like I'm at Germany and Epcot.
Oh, happy birthday again, by the way. How'd that go? Everything fine? Everything went good?
Had a great time. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
All right.
Well, said hi to Bethany from the Heroes team, who was out visiting.
Oh, right. She was there for vacation or something, right?
We passed each other in Japan in Epcot and high-fived.
Nice.
It was fun.
Yeah. If you high-five in Japan, real Japan, though, they'll arrest you. It's an offensive thing to do in Japan.
I don't believe that's true.
It's not true at all. I made it up. Out of whole cloth. All right, let's see what else is happening in and around Blizzard. Whoops. Why isn't that moving? There we go. Hey, let's talk about the rest of Blizzard and what's happening around it. Right now, Heroes continues to be super weird. They lost another major public-facing figure in Kevin Johnson as of yesterday. There was a Twitter post from him. He's moving on to something else within Blizzard. For those who don't know, he was often, was always the voice of the videos they would put out that would be like, here's the hero overview and how the hero works. Or if there were other kinds of event stuff, he would always be that guy. Very, very quickly kind of became the public face. They've even made an announcer pack for him recently, and which is pretty great. To have him leave that group is weird and very disconcerting, and... I am currently in a really bummer place with Heroes because, you know, the announcement was one thing, the follow-up was one thing, but this period of about a month and a half of really no word as to much of anything other than just incremental, we're losing this guy, we're losing that guy, a very quiet launch of Imperius, these sorts of things, have left me very, very high and dry at the moment. On Heroes, and it's bumming me out. So I don't know how I feel about it. How do you feel about it, Garrett?
times two. I mean, it's hard not to look at someone like Kevin leaving the Heroes team and not see it as a sad thing. And also because of what he did, it's very easy to look at him and be like, oh God, does this mean there's not a lot of updates coming? And is there not a lot of reasons to need someone like Kevin on the team anymore?
Yeah. That's kind of my take as well.
Is my concern. I mean, as far as Heroes as a whole, I've been playing it. I've been having a really great time. I think if you're in the game and you're playing it, you're probably not noticing this as much. Depending on your skill level, of course. I mean, there's all kinds of people at the really high ends still very concerned with queue times and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I think for the vast majority of your average Heroes players, your in-game experience probably hasn't changed that much. Mine hasn't, and I'm not a Masters player, so...
If anything, mine's gotten better. I feel like I have better matches, generally.
Yeah. Yeah, same. I'm making a lot of friends in voice chat, you know, people I do not know, and this is because I do a hero show. I had a game like 2 weeks ago where someone's like, hey, I know that voice. Are you not Paradox? And I'm like, no, that's not me.
That's not me.
I am not Paradox. So don't think that I just have good games because folks are like, oh my God, you're on into the Nexus. I'm going to listen to your shot calls. It very, very rarely happens.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've had really, really good experiences recently in game.
Yeah. Same here. I just worry about I worry about how viable, well, you and I both do hero shows. I worry how viable those are in the future. Like, it's just, I don't know if it's enough anymore.
Yeah, man. Don't got to tell me twice. It's a significant portion of my income.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird deal. I don't like it. But I tell you what I do like. I am playing Diablo 3 Season 16 on my PC in particular and having a great time. Every once in a while, that itch comes back and I'm all in again. And right now, I'm all in again. So level 20 late last night. I started yesterday because I haven't had time to start. But yeah, we're going to take the monk the distance and enjoy the hell out of this season. So there's that.
I could not be less interested in playing Diablo at the moment.
That's okay. That's how it's supposed to be. You're not supposed to be interested.
That sounds like I've done it before.
and you have. I guarantee you have. It's all about whether you got the itch or you don't. And if you've got the itch, you should scratch it. And if you don't, you absolutely should not. Like, this is, I want to make this really clear to everybody listening even. This isn't even me going, hey, you guys are crazy. You should be getting into the latest season. It's really good. No, it's like seasons. It's like it's always been. There's really, in fact, the set I'm going to get, which I happen to not have, but the set I'm going to get for this monk is one that I think came out in season 3 or something. It's a really good set, but it's not new. Nothing's new. It's all just, well, they have a passive ring, one of the rings, the Royal Grandeur ring that gives you, you can have two less items in a set, but you get the full set bonus. Normally, you have to apply that by wearing the ring or using the cube. In this season, it's just as a season-long passive that's just on you, and that's pretty crazy.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. So there's stuff like that, but right now I've got the itch. I guarantee you in a month, I will not have the itch.
If you have the itch, salves and creams.
That's right. Ask your doctor if
Diablo 3 Season 16 is right for you.
If Weinzerl's secret cream is right for you. Also, I'm playing Overwatch again. Overwatch, in terms of news, there is some stuff happening on the PTR. They've got a new assault-based map set in Paris. I think it's called Paris. I'm not actually sure on the name. Anyway, I haven't actually seen it. I don't do PTR in there. But I have been playing again and having a ball in there. So I recommend once in a while hopping in there. Literally having a ball. I'm trying out that damn hamster ball thing. What's his name? Hammond. And he's fun. It's a stupid idea, and it works somehow. He's a fun character. So kind of back into Overwatch. As you heard last week on the show, Patrick's very much into Overwatch. It's all I did the entire episode was play Overwatch. So there's that. Did real good over there.
It's because he knows that new Paris map is coming, and it's his French heritage. He just has to get in there.
Yeah. But Wrecking Ball is good. I like him. I like there's some other stuff I haven't seen for a while that's tweaking my bean.
Oh, for God's sake.
I know. It's becoming a thing. It's a thing now. And anyway,
no, it's
not a thing. We're making it a thing, and it's not. But it's great, and it's doing good. All right, tell me about Hearthstone. What are we doing there? How's it going?
Major nerfs announced just yesterday, and I would highly recommend going and listening to the 300th episode of The Angry Chicken, because we had the developer Peter Whalen on the day that these nerfs were announced to talk about these nerfs.
So there are actually people left on the team. They didn't all go to second dinner, right? There are... Just making sure. Okay, all right.
Yes, there's it's a rather large team, as a matter of fact.
Oh, good. Okay, so people are working on Hearthstone. We know that. We're sure that's going on.
Yep. Yep, but some major meta decks are getting some serious wind taken out of their sails with these nerfs.
Well, that's how it goes. Is that just kind of the normal? Are we at the point in the pattern where that happens, or is this a surprise?
No, it's a surprise. We're at the point where we're very surprised we're seeing this many changes this often, because we got a balance update right after the release of Rastakhan's Rumble, which we were like, holy crap, that's amazing.
No.
That's never happened before. Even though the cards that were changed were cards that have, they're older cards that we've all kind of been looking at for a while.
I mean, is there a way to read that as tea leaves and go, oh, this is their new way of new methods with all these people switched out, new people in charge. Perhaps they have a different way of approaching meta and changes in the game.
So a little bit. Yeah. Mm. I mean, we talked to Peter last night and he said, you know, we're trying it out. We're trying to figure out what's right for the game. So this is, I don't think they're never going to make changes just to make changes. They're never going to adjust the game at a certain amount of time just to hit a date. They're still going to make changes when they see it's right, but I think they're a little more open to making more changes more often.
Nice. Well, that's good to hear. And
it's great.
Unless
it's
you're great. Upset about nerfs. Yeah. I guess if you don't like nerfs, you're not happy, right? That's how it works.
Yeah, but I don't know. If you're sick of losing the odd rogue or even palette or even shaman, you know, you're probably going to be happy about these changes.
Yeah, good point.
I think even shaman's dead.
Oh, really?
I think they killed even shaman.
Wow. All right. Well, good luck to those who liked Even Shaman. Which I don't even know what Even Shaman is. It's fine.
The Even Shaman says, hey, guys, what if instead of doing nothing, we tried something?
Oh, Sidian. His name should be Cynical Liam. That's what it should be. It's not Sidian. It should be Cynical Man. Cynical Man.
I would also be okay with Makes Me Laugh.
Yeah, he does make me laugh. I'll give him that. Oh, look at this. Look at this, everybody. Look at this.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
Town Crier, indeed. It's where you guys get to share your thoughts, questions, and general fun via email. theinstance@gmail.com. That's theinstance@gmail.com. And this came in from Jason, who wrote, I bought Diablo 3 when it first came out, but couldn't honestly ever get into it. I ignored the updates over the years. When you said you were enjoying it, I decided to get it again, but this time on the Switch. Holy cow, I have really enjoyed it. Something about playing on that little screen with dual sticks just makes it work for me. I tried going back to the PC version. It just doesn't work for me in the same way. Not sure why. What do you like about the Switch edition? I think the Switch edition is awesome, but I kind of have the exact opposite problem. Not problem, but if I'm given my druthers and where I feel most comfortable to play it, I find that game far more playable on the PC, but then I played Diablo 1 and 2 and every other three-quarter view dungeon crawling game ever made on a PC with a similar kind of setup. And so for me, that is the natural state and way you should play the game. But if you're coming to this with console brain, not saying that's a bad thing, but if that's kind of where you're approaching it, then I could totally see the opposite being true. It's kind of like when I was trying to get Nick into PC gaming. And up till then, he was really a 360 kid, and all the first-person shooters he enjoyed, Call of Duty, whatever, he was playing with a dual-stick controller, and he was really good at it. And when I tried to enlighten him and say, well, look, keyboard mouse is kind of the way to go, he resisted for a long time. It was really hard for him to actually figure it out. And once he did, though, he's like, oh, okay, I get it. But there were times where he was like plugging the controller into his PC because he just couldn't stand it. And so I get it. I get that thing, and I don't think that there's any rule or otherwise, but the thing I like, so to answer his question though, the thing I like most about the portable or the Diablo 3 on Switch is the portability of it. I mean, if you're looking for a console-fied version of Diablo, you can already get that on a PlayStation or an Xbox, so that's not that big of a deal. They play very similar, but it's being able to take that thing and lie in bed with it, sit on the couch, take it on a trip, playing Diablo in that way, and not having to have an online connection to play all of that content outside of seasons is super strong and makes that a really great version of that game. So I really, really, really like it. But if I'm, you know, if you're holding a gun to my head and said, all right, you can only play one or the other for the rest of your life, what are you going to pick? I'm picking the PC one. It's because, I don't know, it's just where I'm most comfortable. Do you agree? Yeah. What do you think, Garrett?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I don't have it on Switch, but I have played it quite a bit on PS4. And the console version of Diablo 3 plays very well. They did a very good job porting it over and adding, you know, console specific things like dodging to the game.
Mm-hmm. I wish that was in the, I wish I somehow could, I don't know how you do it, probably just some other key bound, but I wish I could do that in PC, even though it's not that big of a deal. You don't really speed up, but I like dodging.
Yeah, but I play all if it's, if I can get it on PC, I play it on PC. I mean, that's how I play everything, Blizzard games especially. So I'm definitely a mouse and keyboard guy at heart when it comes to Diablo.
Weird how the Immortal news really landed wrong at BlizzCon. It's almost like you and I are a lot like everyone else in attendance at BlizzCon.
It's almost like gamers. The 30,000 people that show up, the most hardcore of your audience. And that may not be the best place to announce. Yeah. Look at your phone screen.
Yeah.
Are you into it?
We all got phones, right? Yeah. I like this persona you created with this guy who didn't exist.
That's the wrong place to announce that game.
It was. I mean, I've said it before. I'll say it again.
I know I've said this before. Or don't save it for the end of the opening ceremony. Yeah. Like, wedge it in the middle somewhere. Like, oh, hey, by the way, we got a DLC game. And moving on. Look at this McCree cinematic, everybody.
Or cheat. Cheat like Bethesda did. You got Todd Howard, who literally goes, we're doing this mobile game. It's called Blades. So Elder Scrolls Blades, and it's cool. And here's a screenshot, and here's some video. Hey, that's real cool, but not leaving just yet. Here's video that is clearly not of a video game, of just like a camera over a city and the slowly fading in words, Elder Scrolls 6, which is super nondescript and isn't even a game yet, but here it is anyway. If they'd have just done that with a big flaming 4... solve most of your problems. Now that
it
means
is how I have found out about every single Halo game.
Yes.
They always just have like a logo trailer.
Right.
And you all go, of course.
No, we're suckers
if
for
you
it.
Like that
we're,
game, you're happy and excited.
We're suckers for it. So just do that to us.
Yeah.
Because we're idiots. We're there for the hype machine. All right. Thanks for the email, Jason. And if you'd like to send your own emails, you can. theinstance@gmail.com. And that is going to do it. Now, don't forget, there's always more content to be had in and around our circles, including the fine website and podcastery and streamcastery happening over at amove.tv. Garrett, tell us where people should go and what they should look forward to this week.
They should definitely do that. The 300th episode of The Angry Chicken recorded last night. It is just shy of 3 hours.
Jeez Louises.
The first 40 minutes is talking with Peter Whalen about the latest round of nerfs. The back half is a bunch of tech trivia and drinking, and it's very funny and delightfully unprofessional, and you should go listen to it.
I love it. That's my nickname, delightfully unprofessional.
I really like to promote the YouTube channel that Kyle and I spun up recently to cover some Anthem stuff. It's not old enough to have a custom URL, even though so many of you have subscribed already that we have enough subs. It's just not old enough.
Mm.
So I made a bit.ly. So go to bit.ly/GarrettKyleYouTube.
Oh, nice.
Go there. Please watch our Anthem videos. Please like them. Please subscribe. Thank you.
Do you also have a Kyle Garrett porn tube? Or you porn?
You know, it might be a Patreon goal at some point.
Someone told me yesterday those guys have channels now where people can create like a YouTube, just like with YouTube, you make your own channel. Apparently that's the thing you can do now. So you can have your own, you know, you just subscribe to PewDiePie on YouTube and watch him do dumb stuff. Well, now you can go to YouPorn, and I guess it's the same. There's people making their own porn content and you subscribe to their channels. I guess that's a thing now.
Is that surprising?
I guess I'm a little surprised. I thought everything.
I mean, if we want to get blue for a second, I mean, most of the most recent Twitch updates, like bits and stuff, that's just stolen from the porn industry.
See, I don't know. I'm naive with this stuff. I don't know. I'm not a porny guy. I don't really get it. So, you know,
it was a huge conversation actually on this week's Giant Bombcast, I think.
Oh, they talk about it. I didn't know the bits. So when the bits thing on Twitch is taken from.
It's basically lifted one for one from camgirl sites.
Oh. Wow, I'm learning a thing or two here. Well, look, everybody, next year, look for the 2020 launch of my hot new website, beantweaking.net. And you can come check it out and be a part of the grand old time we're going to have there. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Do not forget to check out theinstance.net. That's our website. You'll find all the links and stuff you need there, including our email address I mentioned before. You can find us on Twitter, Garrett Art, Scott Johnson. Instance Show. Those are all good examples. And you can find more shows like this at frogpants.com. I would say if you're into D&D, you might want to check out our weekend big, huge 3-hour D&D extravaganza. There will be dungeons. You can find that at frogpants.com as well. That's going to do it for us, for me and for Garrett. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Sorcerer Scandal sends seditious scallywag to the stockade. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. If you're plotting to commit treason and overthrow the legitimate government of the kingdom, finding reliable allies is a key step, but just as important is keeping your alliance secret. Sir Geoffrey Ashvane, cousin to Lady Ashvane, learned a hard lesson on that front recently and will be paying a heavy price for it. The young noble over the past few months have been making numerous trips to Drustvar, ostensibly to hunt with members of House Waycrest. But agents of House Proudmoore grew suspicious when they inspected his carriage at a customs toll house. They discovered numerous items hidden in a secret compartment with strange sigils and the scent of magic on them. Fearing he was seeking to enlist the aid of occult forces, the Borealis Guard hauled him in for questioning. Sir Geoffrey vociferously proclaimed his innocence and threw accusations back at the guards, saying they were, quote-unquote, hunting witches that did not exist. Reluctantly, they released him. However, they wisely put him under surveillance, and the next night captured a raven released from his home. The bird had a message strapped to his leg in Geoffrey's handwriting, promising rare spell components in exchange for curses cast against prominent Proudmoore family members. So now the disgraced noble sits in prison, charged with lying to investigators and conspiring to commit treason. Once again, the old adage has proven true. When it comes to conspiracy, it's not the crime, it's the coven up. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Portions of Buxley have been pre-recorded. Buxley here to answer your World of Warcraft questions in this edition of Ask Buxley. This question is about time. Dear Buxley, that goblin at the end of your segment is always saying, "Time is money, friend." Is time actually money? Well, I'll tell you something first. That's the third most popular goblin phrase. The first is, "Hey, you almost stepped on me," followed closely by, "Hey, kid, do you want to buy a watch?" But I will tell you that the phrase "time is money" is in general usage in the goblin communities because they use money to tell time. Instead of phrases like "it's 12 o'clock" or "it's quarter past 4," they use phrases like "you could have earned 12 gold by now," or "that quarter has moved past the other 4." I know that sounds kind of weird, but it makes sense to them. Goblin trade prince Gallywix is so obsessed with the idea of money and time that he once tried to go back in time to make profit from it. He went so far as to gather up all the PvP arena match statistics from the present day and went back through that portal that opened during Legion with the dream of making a giant casino in the middle of Shattrath. Since he already knew who won the matches, he could go back in time, place bets, and then make a lot of money to build that casino. It would have worked, too, except for that human that showed up on that mechanohog going 88 miles an hour and who stole those statistics, all just to save us from the weird goblin future that might have happened. So you can see, goblins are very obsessed with time and money. They think that any moment you're not earning, acquiring, inheriting, collecting, receiving, gathering, or otherwise getting money is time wasted. Thanks for your question! If you'd like to know what I've been up to every day, follow Ask Buxley on Twitter. If you like the segment, please take the time and rate it on iTunes.
Hey kid, you wanna buy a watch? Bet you thought I was gonna say time is money, friend. Oh, darn it.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
This is not one of your stronger analogies.
No, it's not. It's not at all. It's a really bad one.